You're listening to an Airwave Media Podcast.
As a longtime foreign correspondent, I've worked in lots of places, but nowhere as important to the world as China. I'm Jane Perlez, former Beijing bureau chief for The New York Times. Join me on my new podcast, Face Off, U.S. versus China, where I'll take you behind the scenes in the tumultuous U.S.-China relationship. Find Face Off wherever you get your podcasts.
Want to learn how you can make smarter decisions with your money? Well, I've got the podcast for you. I'm Sean Piles, and I host NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Our show features our team of nerds, personal finance experts in credit cards, banking, investing, and more. And they'll help you make the most of your money while cutting through the clutter and misinformation in today's world of personal finance. You'll get clarity on strategies to help you build your wealth, invest wisely, shop for financial products, and plan for major life events. Listen to NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Justin David Carl, aka Dragon, and this is the Earn and Invest Podcast.
We all want to learn the magic of alchemy, to change lead into gold, to revolutionize our lives. I did. I found myself drowning in a job, a life that didn't feel like me. Working 60 hours a week, getting paged and texted all hours of the night, and no longer enjoying interacting with my patients. My golden life had started to feel like a huge pile of lead pulling me down. So I turned to what I thought was the most powerful alchemizer out there. Money. If I just had enough money, I could change everything, quit my job, control my time, do whatever I wanted to do. In accumulating enough, however, I realized it was a powerful force of change on the outside. It could change my circumstances, but it couldn't change who I was or who I wanted to strive to be. Only I could do that. Justin David Carl's mission is to inspire and empower people to proactively design and truly live a life worth living. He describes himself as a life alchemist, entrepreneur, holistic well-being thought leader, fitness and money coach, fashionista, and spiritual hipster. He is also the host of the Alchemize Life podcast. Justin David Carl, welcome to Earn and Invest. Fashionista, really?
Come on now. You see my dragon hat I'm wearing. I got a blazer on with a tank top underneath. I got some crystals in my pocket. And, you know, it's just a part of who I am is combining that spirituality with a bit of fashion and just really bringing my authentic self.
Yeah. If you're not watching this on YouTube in the video and you're listening as a podcast, you can't see that Justin has a black dragon hat. He's got a black blazer on. He is looking pretty fashionable. I have to give him that. To get a little more serious, in a blog post, I saw that you wrote, "Like many people, I have been through a lot of darkness in my life." Tell me about some of that darkness.
Yeah, so in contrast with your introduction, I truly believe that often, if we choose, our darkness can actually be the greatest source of our light. What I mean by that is, when we take on the right mindset, and this is to me the mindset of a life alchemist, that anything and everything is energy that can be utilized to learn, heal, grow, and transform, you realize that some of the most powerful energy available to you or to anyone is the darkest, most challenging times of our life. One of the darker periods of my life was after about 7 or 8 years working in Hollywood nightlife. So I threw some of the hottest parties in Hollywood, where all the A-list celebrities and millionaires and billionaires and athletes and just the A-list. In the beginning, you know, I fell into it, to be honest. I did not realize what I was getting myself into. And I thought, oh my God, this is the dream. Like, I literally, my first night of work, Justin Timberlake and Britney Spears, like, came into the club to get, a table and have a nice night out. And this is back when they were dating. And I had never seen a celebrity in my entire life ever. You know, I grew up in a small town in Washington State, and you know, I was fortunate enough to go to Stanford University, but even back then there wasn't like all the, you know, there's kind of like Silicon Valley celebrities now. It wasn't as big back then. I was there around 2002. And so I was just like, oh my God, this is incredible. And I fell deeply intoxicated by the lifestyle, the power, the money, the prestige. Literally, I was partying for a living. Even with that fact, I knew within about the first year that long term, this was not going to support the person that I wanted to be in the world. That ultimately, it was encouraging me to partake in behavior that would degrade my myself and my spirit, and ultimately the man that I showed up in the world as. And what I recognized early on was, about every year I was becoming a 5 to 10% worse of a person. It's not any one person's fault, just nightclubs, the nightclub business. It's just kind of an inherently darker, more like gray area. You know, there's a lot of drug use. There's a lot of alcohol use. There's a lot of illicit behavior. I got heavily into drinking. I was smoking marijuana every single day, all day long, for about 5 years straight. I got into Adderall without a prescription. You know, I consider myself fortunate that I got into Adderall and not cocaine, because, you know, I would say, in my own opinion, Adderall is kind of like prescription cocaine, but it's fortunate that it's like, you know, manufactured by companies and not cut with a bunch of extra stuff that you don't really know what else is in it. But nonetheless, I was essentially burying all the kind of unhappier, darker emotions in myself for about 5+ years. And even though I knew I should have gotten out of the industry, I was so addicted to the money and the prestige and the lifestyle that I was just like, okay, I'm just going to like live the lifestyle and consume the things that made me happy and functional in that world. Eventually, I realized that if I was going to become the man that I wanted to become, which was someone who's making a positive impact in the world, somebody who was a loyal and great husband and a great family man, that I needed to get out of that industry. So my first step to that was to stop smoking marijuana, because I had realized that I was one of the most driven people in the world, or like that I knew, maybe not in the world. There's, you know, there's people like Elon Musk going to Mars and all that stuff, but I was one of the most driven people I'd ever known. And I realized that by smoking marijuana every day, it kept me just comfortable enough not to make a change. So, and I have no problem with people smoking marijuana. I just have a very addictive personality. Like, abstinence is infinitely easier than moderation. So I was literally waking up smoking marijuana, smoking before I went to the gym, you know, smoking after the gym, smoking and going hiking, smoking before work, smoking at work, smoking after work, smoking before I went to sleep. So, and I was highly functional. I don't regret that experience, because I would say marijuana really allowed me to connect to kind of my more spiritual self. So I don't regret it, but it was totally out of hand, like the amount that I was smoking, and it kept me just happy enough not to, you know, figure out how to transition out of nightlife and into another world of life and work and business and who I was. So I stopped smoking, and after about 2 weeks, I was hit with deep, deep depression. Looking back, I know now what was going on. Carl Jung, one of the grandfathers of psychology, he said, depression is Mother Nature's way of resetting the psyche. And I had just spent 5 years suppressing every single non-positive emotion and thought with marijuana. And so when I stopped smoking marijuana, all that stuff was ready to come up and start to be released. And I had to emote that in order to release it. So I literally went through about 4 months straight of suicidal depression. But fortunately, I had some really good people in my life. My mom, who is a psychotherapist, my best friend, Carly, also known as the Phoenix, who is now my wife, my father, and my two brothers. And my older brother had his own challenges with drug addiction and suicide. And so by having those people in my life, I was able to, you know, essentially talk with them almost daily about just everything that was coming up for me. And I really was able to hold on to the fact that, like, I didn't want to do that to them. I didn't want to end my life and, like, hurt them, even though I was in such a deep, dark place where I was just like, you know, I've totally failed. Like, technically, I dropped out of Stanford and, you know, at a technical level, I stopped out of Stanford telling them I'd come back in a year to finish my degree. But then I fell into Hollywood nightlife. And 8 years later, I still hadn't gotten back to finish my degree.
I'm interested in how you got to this place. I mean, I've heard you say you are what you consume. And certainly at this point in your life, you were consuming drugs. You were probably consuming junk food. You were consuming an environment and a culture that you eventually realized weren't serving you. But you weren't always like this. I mean, you're also the guy who discovered Tony Robbins at like a really young age.
Yeah.
You had this goal of going to Stanford, your North Star. You didn't get in, yet you eventually found a way in after they originally didn't take you.
Yeah.
That isn't sounding like someone who would then leave all that to go to Hollywood nightlife. What happened? Like, what changed in there?
Yeah, it's a really great question. So my senior year, my grandma who helped raise me with my mother passed away. And so she was like a second mother to me. And, you know, my parents separated when I was in third grade. So my grandma really played like a significant role in my upbringing. And that was kind of the first major death in my life that I had, like where it was a really close family member. You know, there was some people in high school who unfortunately got in car accidents and stuff like that, but it wasn't like, you know, my girlfriend or my best friend or anything like, so this really hit home for me. And I had tried to do about a year and a half of, worth of internships and investment banking, trying to convince myself that was the career for me after Stanford. And like, even though I knew before I got into it, that wasn't for me, I had to go do it to find out it wasn't for me. And so two kind of things happened. One, my grandma passed away and I didn't know how to deal with that emotionally. So I was like, maybe I should take some time off from school. And then secondly, I didn't know what to do after Stanford, so I didn't want to finish. And so I was like, I'll stop out. I'll go kind of like do some more work for like a year and just kind of explore and see like, what do I want to do like after Stanford? And then I'll come back. Because ultimately, I was really scared because I didn't know what I wanted to do after Stanford and I didn't know where to go. I just knew I didn't want to do investment banking. And so this was kind of my creative idea of how to kind of like figure my life out. It was like, I'm just going to go take a break and figure it out. And then, you know, prior to going to Stanford, I actually got rejected on the first time. The full story is I got waitlisted. I was probably, if I remember correctly, number 16 on the waitlist, but they only took 8 people from the waitlist. So I didn't get in. And this was a dream I had since like third grade. And so the biggest dream in my life, I missed it. And that was kind of like the first like mini dose of like depression. And, you know, ultimately I was like, I missed the goal that I've been shooting for, you know, pretty much 9 years. And I was in a total funk. You know, I was pretty young. It wasn't like suicidal depression, but I was like pretty hurt about it. Cause I literally asked myself this defining question, and everything I did in high school and up to high school was, will this help me get into Stanford, or will it hinder me from getting into Stanford? And that's how I lived my life for like, 5 to 9 years with that singular goal. So when I missed it, it really threw me into a funk, and I was like, I don't know what to do. And I was really, you know, depressed, but not suicidal. And my mom said to me after about 2 weeks of me like moping around, like, Justin, you can either let this break you, or you can let it make you, and the choice is yours. And that woke me up. I was like, well, I'm going to make this make me, like, because I'm going to be, you know, I'm going to be an advocate for my best life, and I'm going to try again. And so I tried again, and I got in, which was incredible, because it really taught me that, like, it pays to get back up when you get knocked down, and that it's some of the best lessons and spirit building comes from when you fail. So that was kind of the first piece. And then circling back to how I kind of fell into nightlife before I went to Stanford, in that gap year, I went and lived in Barcelona. And it was in Barcelona that I fell in love with the world of nightclubs.
Got it.
And this is related to the whole like fashionista and spiritual hipster and all that stuff, because nightclubs were so awesome to me because they were this incredible mix of fashion, culture, music, art, architecture. It was just like all in one thing. And so I was like, I want to get into nightlife. That's what I was like. I'm going to go explore nightlife. And I was like, I'll do anything. I will be a busboy. I don't care. And so I went down to LA, you know, things kind of lined up. So I was able to meet my then girlfriend back then, not my wife, just somebody else in my past. And I ended up getting that job at a nightclub. Then fell into all this, you know, like essentially, like you said, like one of my core beliefs is you are a product of your environment. So if you want to like transform your life, transform the environments that you're inhabiting. And that can be a work environment, that can be a city that you live in, that can be, you know, what you do in your free time. That's like the first part. The second part is that you are the average of the 5 to 10 people that you spend the most energy with. And this can be somebody in person. And this could also be, you know, now with the internet, like you can spend time with a lot of people that normally you couldn't get access to. So, you know, I was just around a lot of people that were doing a lot of drugs and weren't super happy with themselves. So there's that. And then as I kind of came out of my depression, I was like, okay, I know what I need to do next. I need to go back and finish this childhood dream of going to Stanford and graduating. I was like, I'm just going to call them and see if they'll take me back. And it was really scary, but I was like, I got nothing to lose because I'm not happy and I need to make a change. I need to get out of this. And the best idea I have is to go back to Stanford. And so I called Stanford up and got on the phone with the right people. And I was like, hey, I know I said I was going to stop out for just a year. I fell into another career. I'm ready to come back and finish my degree. And I only had two quarters left, which is the funny part. Lo and behold, they were like, great. We'd love to have you come back. We actually have a bunch of people coming back this year. Some people have been gone a quarter or two, and some people have been gone as long as 20 years. And I was like, what? I've only been gone like 8 or 9. There's people that have been like double that and they're coming back. And suddenly it was like, you know, the world was opening back up to me. And the reason I wanted to go back to Stanford is related to that, like, product of your environment principle. The best environment I'd ever been in my entire life at that point was Stanford, because it was just an incredible environment full of people that were brilliant, good-hearted, and up to really great things in the world. And I was like, I'll just go back there and I'll figure it out. I have no idea what I'll do next, but if I get back there, I can reboot my life.
I love this idea of, if you want to change who you are, you've got to change that environment, right, to fit who you are. I mean, you're a strikingly successful guy. You were successful in getting into Stanford even when they waitlisted you. You were successful in building this nightlife career, which wasn't serving you, but you did a great job at it. When you finally decided to go back to Stanford, you realized, I need to change my environment once again. But you also came to some realizations. And one of those realizations was about a fear of success. Help me understand that, because you sound like a very successful person, but I've heard you talk about this idea that you were actually afraid of success.
Yeah. And that is something that has unfolded in different iterations and layers, like peeling back an onion throughout my life. And it really has come to a head in my understanding as well as my transcendence of that in the last year. So in the last year, I've been working with my own breakthrough coach. And one of my longtime dreams was to have my own podcast. And for about 10 years, I told myself that I would learn how to edit and I would launch a podcast. And I had actually, in those years, actually recorded about 3 to 5 different podcasts with some really great people, you know, some people that I met in Hollywood, like America's Next Top Model, and some other really awesome people. But I never got around to learning how to edit. And at the beginning of 2022, I asked myself, what am I going to do different this year so that I don't wake up 10 years later and it's now been 20 years of having this dream of launching my podcast? And my wife, she had suggested to me working with an EFT coach, which EFT is emotional freedom technique. And it is a form of therapy that involves tapping on meridians in your body to release suppressed emotions and childhood trauma, or trauma that you've accumulated throughout the life. And as I was working with this coach at the beginning of 2022, I realized I had this deep-seated fear that if I was more successful than my parents and they could witness it, it would cause me to lose connection with my family. Like I would almost be excommunicated from the tribe. And it was like this primal subconscious fear that I didn't even realize was there. And this is all like really interesting to me, because the biggest reason I wanted to go to Stanford subconsciously, and I'm able to say this now, is because when my parents separated and my dad left for a couple years, my dad had gone to Stanford and got his MBA there. And so in my, young childhood mind, I was like, well, if I get to Stanford, my dad will like love me and be in my life. And like at the time, I had no conscious realization that I was making these choices, but those are the choices that I made. And then as I got older, it was, there was like this fear of outshining my parents because I didn't want them to feel like they weren't, you know, living a great life. And I didn't want them to, you know, not love me. And this is all like crazy when I say it out loud, but this is the kind of stuff that happens to everybody. Like these things happen to us in our childhood that create trauma as well as coping mechanisms and decisions that stay with us for years until we decide to deal with them. So I was able to work with my coach and release that fear and even have these conversations with my parents and my family that like, hey, I realize that I'm afraid to shine bright because for some crazy reason, I think that's going to make me lose the love and connection to my family. And, you know, they all were able to assure me like, Justin, we want you to be successful and bright and shining as bright as you can in this world. And so I was able to release that fear and that trauma working with my coach. And, you know, I launched my podcast in April of 2022 after working with my EFT coach for 4 months.
We are talking to Justin David Carl. His mission is to inspire and empower people to proactively design and truly live a life worth living. We're going to take a short break. I'm Doc G, and this is the Earn and Invest podcast. You know what? I love our meals from Factor. My son started getting them about a year ago when he needed a quick alternative to meals on the go. But where we've really enjoyed them is we've been remodeling our kitchen. That's right, we've had no access to our kitchen for the last few weeks. And some nights, we just had no idea what to do for a meal. That is where Factor came in. We would just pop the meal in the microwave, and 2 minutes later, we'd have a fantastic meal. You can do the exact same thing, and there's tons of variety. Choose from a weekly menu of 35 options, including Calorie Smart, Keto, Protein Plus, or Vegan and Veggie. Also, discover more than 60 add-ons every week. These are chef-prepared meals, and let me tell you, they are delicious. No fuss, no mess. You just put it in the microwave, and 2 minutes later, you have a meal. This is tailored to your schedule. You can customize your weekly meals with the flexibility to get as much or as little as you need. Head to factormeals.com/earn50 and use your code EARN50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box. That's code EARN50 at factormeals.com/earn50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box while your subscription is active. Are you struggling to close deals? B2B selling is tougher than ever, and that's why I want to tell you about LinkedIn Sales Navigator. LinkedIn Sales Navigator is a sales intelligence platform that helps professionals effectively prospect and engage high-value customers, drive higher revenue, and increase sales performance. Sales Navigator helps you target the right buyers, surface key signals, such as job changes or which accounts you should prioritize, and shows you hidden allies so you can find those buyers that are most likely to convert. Fueled by LinkedIn's 1 billion member platform, Sales Navigator gives you the most up-to-date first-party data, enabling you to unlock conversations with the people that matter. Right now, you can try LinkedIn Sales Navigator and get a 60-day free trial at linkedin.com/earn. That is linkedin.com/EARN for a 60-day free trial. Let LinkedIn Sales Navigator help you sell like a superstar today. Just go to linkedin.com/earn and get started. Let me reintroduce you. We are talking to Justin David Carl. He describes himself as a life alchemist, entrepreneur, holistic well-being thought leader, fitness and money coach, fashionista, and spiritual hipster. Justin, the name of your podcast is Alchemize Life. And we were just talking about this idea of kind of dealing with your own inner demons about success and outperforming your parents. You got to this point in life where you started understanding that. But I'm interested in this idea of how we then alchemize our lives. How do we then take this knowledge and change? Tell me about the title of the podcast and this concept of how we alchemize life. How did it come to you, and what does it mean?
The reason I chose alchemize is because it is the verb or the action form of alchemist or alchemy. And alchemy, one definition of alchemy, is the seemingly magical process of combination, creation, and transformation. And I'm a firm believer that humans are meant to learn, heal, grow, and transform together. We don't do this in isolation. I would say most of the world doesn't go off and meditate in a cave for months on end. We actually have to alchemize our own life with others, with family members, etc. And so for me, I wanted to have a title for first my blog, which has now become a podcast, that was basically affirming the process of alchemizing my life. So it's like a almost like a command: alchemize life, like take action and create transformation. And you can do that by interacting with other people, other ideas, books, podcasts, workshops, etc. But there's always a process of combination, creation, and then transformation, right? And I'm a firm believer in the idea that two by two, we heal. And this is, why to me, like, it made so much sense that as I worked with my EFT breakthrough coach, like, I was able to create this podcast and transform and finally, you know, show myself as successful in the world, at a very, very visual sense. You know, I'm online, I'm talking about my net worth, I'm talking about my success, I'm talking about all my business endeavors, I'm talking about my health and my fitness. And so for me, I just wanted a podcast that always reminded me of the process that I continually need to go through, as well as encourage other people to continually embrace. And the reason I'm so passionate about that is because it's taking on the right mindset. So you can either believe that life happens to you or life happens for you. And both are true. It just depends on which you want to believe, right? So you can play the victim, life happens to me, poor me, or you can be the life alchemist and say, life happens for me. So this super crazy, challenging, terrible thing that's going on in my life, though I'm like, wouldn't necessarily wish it upon someone else, I know that I can harness the energy, the experience to ultimately transform my life to the next level.
Yeah, I mean, I really connect with this idea. It's really about the stories we tell ourselves about the things that happen to us. And the question which you're asking is, are you going to tell yourself good magical stories about those things? Or are you going to tell us poor me stories about those things? You mentioned net worth earlier, and I know that you also discovered Mr. Money Mustache, Pete Aidney. How does money fit into all this? Because we're really talking about mindset. We're talking about self-improvement. Where does the money come in?
Money is energy, right? Money is a man-made idea. Like, we all got together and decided that, hey, we're all going to agree that this idea called money holds value. And that is literally just a energy thought form that back in the day was put into physical objects of like coins and then dollars. And now, like, tons of money is completely digital. It's like, you know, ethereal almost, right? And again, it's just this idea or this form of energy that keeps like transforming into different shapes. Now we have like cryptocurrency and like, you know, there's all these things. And so for me, what I realized is that money was really attractive to me because, again, going back to my childhood, my parents, one of the big reasons my parents separated was money. My parents were, they had a farm and the farm failed and they went broke and, had to file for bankruptcy, and that like crushed their spirits. And it took them a long time to recover from that. And I just remember growing up and being like stressed out to even ask for like new soccer shoes. And, so when I was a kid, I was like, my dream, even before the dream of going to Stanford came along, was to be a millionaire, to be rich, because that would, I would finally be free once I got, became rich, because, and that would solve all the problems I went through growing up, or so I thought. And so when I discovered Mr. Money Mustache at the end of 2017, and this is after, shortly after I finally finished Stanford University, I finally got my degree. I finally completed that dream. And I, stumbled upon, as many people have, the shockingly simple math behind early retirement. And that was so powerful to me because I've never had a problem earning money. I've my entire life always been great at making money. Like even as a kid, I would make things in elementary school, like in second grade, take them to school and sell them to kids. And I like at a very young age saved up like $500, like, probably around the age of like 8 or 9, which is an insane amount of money for a child that young. And $500 back then was worth a lot more than it is now. And this ties into that fear of like success. My older brother ended up stealing that money from me. So another reason it took me so long to like really step out and like claim myself as financially independent, multimillionaire, is because I had this deep rooted fear that like someone would try to take my money. Someone in my family would try to take my money. So that was another thing I had to work on with my coach. Ultimately, I realized that, heck, if I had understood this whole concept of financial independence while I was working in Hollywood nightlife, when I was making like $200,000 to $300,000 a year, I could have been financially independent easily within the 8 years that I was in that career. And so I basically was like, okay, cool. Well, it's never too late. Like I learned that with Stanford. I didn't get in on the first time, right? I messed up, but it's like, okay, I squandered all that wealth that I had made in Hollywood, but that doesn't mean I can't change. I can't transform. I can't use that experience to give me the energy to like completely transform my money journey. And basically, I became financially independent in 2 years after reading that article. And I went from negative 80,000. I was in credit card debt. I had school loans and I was 6 years behind on my taxes. And in 2 years, I became a millionaire.
It's interesting you say that, right? Because we always talk about how money really is about mindset. It's not necessarily about how much you make. Yeah. For you, that was very true because you always had that ability to make a lot of money, but yeah. You never had the mindset that would allow you to accumulate it.
Correct.
I could see naysayers listening to the story and they're saying, look, this is a story of alchemy. It's a story of self-improvement, but isn't there a selfish aspect to self-improvement? I mean, it sounds like if we go down this route, we're going to be very in our own heads. What about the world and the community as a whole?
I love this question because this is really the current expression within my life and my expression in the world at this point in my life, where I'm really turning it around and I'm starting to use the energy that I've accumulated in order to make a positive impact in the lives of others. So, you mentioned earlier this, like, I discovered Tony Robbins at a really young age. And, one of my other dreams was to be a coach, to empower people to really build their best life, whatever that is for them. So also, you know, one of my long time dreams was actually to have a fitness and money coaching program where I could empower others to get the body of their dreams and finally achieve financial success. And so also working with my coach, and I was also in a mastermind with Peter Krohn, who's kind of like a coach and a thought leader in human performance. I launched my own fitness and money coaching program, Fit Rich Vegan, last year. And so now I've empowered dozens of people to really get in the best shape of their life and really start to create financial freedom for themselves. And the reason I created a coaching program is because I recognized the power that coaches and masterminds had in my own life. So one of the ways, or two of the ways, that I became a millionaire in 2 years is because I had a money mastermind that I attended every single month. And I had multiple coaches around money and my career who taught me how to earn like a total beast. And I also, they, my coaches and the people in my mastermind told me, like taught me, you know, how to build wealth, right? And each month I would go to this mastermind looking forward to either A, sharing the success that I had created, on my financial independence journey in the last month, or to be like, this is the current challenge I'm running into. Like, help me kind of like mastermind this, like out myself out of this challenge, or, you know, what is the next step of my plan? And the mastermind and the coaching empowered me to really rocket ship my way to financial independence. And the other thing that I recognized is that very few people will go seek financial independence on their own. Like, it is still very much like a subculture, a niche, right? Like, as a percentage of population, the people that are super passionate about becoming financially independent and literally proactively working their way there, it's a tiny, tiny, tiny percent of the population. And most people need accountability and skin in the game. And if anything for most people is given to them for free, right, they don't do anything with it. But if they've invested, if they put their own money into it, they're like, well, heck, I'm not going to be the reason that I don't get in great shape. I've paid for coaching and now I have someone who's like leveling me up. And I, you know, in my fitness and my money, and this is what happened with my fitness. So for most of my life, I hated my body. I could never get a six pack. I could never, you know, get the muscular physique that I dreamed of having, you know, like the guys I saw in Muscle and Fitness and whatnot. And then I got an online coach and I did it in 6 months.
I need to back up here because this is, I think people are really going to want to know the specifics. You went from whatever, $60,000, $70,000 credit card debt, et cetera, to being a millionaire within 2-3 years. How did you specifically do that? I mean, was it online courses? Was it building up coaching? What, I know you also had a 9-to-5 job at the time. Like, what specifically did you do to build wealth?
Yeah, great question. So when I was at Stanford, I had the great fortune to become a founding team member of a Stanford startup. Currently called Garton, formerly called Oh My Green. And essentially what the company does is we manage many of the employee experience benefits for companies, specifically the snack programs and the catering programs and the well-being programming, you know, like yoga and fitness boot camps and all that stuff. And this, like I said, I went back to Stanford to figure out what to do next. I could have never predicted that I would become part of a Stanford startup, but that was another one of my dreams. So I had to And this is kind of like a theme in my life. Like, I had to just take the next step, you know, like Indiana Jones, when he has to like cross the chasm and he can't see, and he just has to go on faith and take the next step and the next step. So that's what I did at Stanford. And, you know, I kind of like fell into this startup, became, you know, a founding team member, the fourth employee. And I had been in sales in one form or another pretty much my entire life. I was a waiter in high school. In Hollywood nightlife, I really focused on kind of like where all the money was, which was in bottle service. So all the VIPs, they come in and spend anywhere between $2,000 and $30,000 on table service or bottle service, which I know sounds crazy, but like wealthy people do crazy stuff with their money. And so I recognized I was really good at sales and I really enjoyed it. So at Garten, even though I had the opportunity to really do whatever I want, I chose to focus on sales. So I was an enterprise salesperson. So I would sell our services of snack programs, catering, well-being programs to tech companies, first within the Bay Area and then across the nation. And the incredible thing about sales is many sales careers or jobs have uncapped commissions. And when I finally got my career coaches, they were like, I was earning maybe around, I don't know, 150, 200 grand a year, which in the Bay Area is not very much. Now, across the US, it's a lot, but the Bay Area, like, it's incredibly high cost of living. And so, like, you're not going to become a millionaire, like, earning only 150 or 2,000, 200,000 in a few years. Like, it's going to take decades. And so what my coaches taught me was like, Justin, in the Bay Area, for people who are working in sales in tech, the top salespeople earn $500,000 to $1 million a year, and you can totally do that. And suddenly, that coaching opened me up to the possibility of earning significantly more than I'd ever earned in my life. So within the first year of that coaching, I went from about like 200,000 to just a little bit under 500,000. And then the second year, I went over $700,000 in a year. And then by the third year, I made almost $900,000 in a year. And at the same time, I discovered financial independence. So instead of upgrading my lifestyle, I just stacked cash, invested like crazy. Like, I was literally, some months I was making $80,000-$90,000 a month, and I was just socking it in to the stock market. And like, I built up my wealth incredibly fast.
So it sounds like you figured out the money, you figured out fitness, you became a vegan, you were figuring out mindset. Does alchemizing ever end? Do we stop alchemizing our life? Do we say, okay, I'm now here, I can let it go a little bit?
I think there is nuance to the answer to that. So I don't think it ever ends, but I think just like there are ebbs and flows to, you know, the way the ocean goes or the way that business cycles go or macroeconomic cycles, there are times when the alchemizing is more intense and extreme. And then there are times where it's a lot less. But just like the ocean never stops moving, like, alchemizing our life never ceases. And I would say, you know, with my spiritual beliefs, like, the final alchemization of this life is death, but then our spirit or our soul goes on to alchemize in other ways. And maybe that's being reborn. And then we go through another, you know, journey of evolution to evolve our spirit. But, you know, that's probably a conversation either for another podcast episode on this show, or maybe a different, completely different podcast.
So in closing, I feel like I can't end this interview without asking one very important question. How did you get the nickname The Dragon?
Short answer is my wife. Carly, aka the Phoenix, and she nicknamed me Dragon probably close to 15 to 20 years ago, because we were just always really into like spiritual things. So we discovered our love of like crystals and tarot cards together. And, you know, through our conversations, she realized like how much I love dragons. Like one of like as a kid, I read a ton of fantasy books and I was always obsessed with dragons. So she started calling me Dragon. I started calling her Phoenix. And then when I joined the Stanford startup, Garten, the CEO and founder, within the first couple of days of work, it might even be the first day I started working, he was like, you have to have an avatar. I'm Captain Kirk. Who are you? And I was like, well, all my friends in LA and my, you know, my best friend at the time calls me Dragon. So I'm Dragon. And ultimately what that nickname has become is it just captures my fiery spirit and magical approach to life.
Well, Justin David Carl, I wanted to thank you for coming on the show today. As I reflect on what we talked about, I go back to my introduction, this idea of alchemy is changing something like lead into gold. It's transformation. The thing about it is I think most of the world thinks of alchemy as magic. And I think there is something magic and subtle to it, but it's also very intentional. Mm-hmm. Like to really transform as human beings, we have to transform our environment. We have to transform our thoughts. Sometimes we have to even transform what we eat and put into our body. All of these things are very intentional. They're not magic at all, and yet they are still alchemy, maybe not in the traditional way we think about it. So I'm excited that your podcast is there to help us learn how to intentionally alchemize life. I want to end this episode the way I end every episode by asking you, what is up next in your life? And specifically, if people want to know more, how can they reach out to you? So first and foremost, what is up next for Justin David Carl?
Continuing my journey of alchemization and self-actualization. So really just continuing to step more into thought leadership around positive transformation in all the various forms, online, through my coaching program, Fit Rich Vegan, through my podcast, Alchemize Life, through my work with Garten and working with, you know, companies and empowering their employees. And, you know, even just in my own life with my family, with my wife, with my friends. So it's just continuing the beautiful journey of alchemizing life.
And what is the best way to get in touch with you if people have questions or want to reach out?
Best place is Instagram. So it's at Justin David Carl is easiest way. I'm very active on Instagram. But, you know, if you're not on Instagram, you can just go to my blog or my website, alchemizelife.com. And you can also just use justindavidcarl.com because it'll forward you to alchemizelife.com.
Well, Justin Carl, or should I say Dragon, I wanted to thank you so much for coming on Earn and Invest today.
My pleasure. Thank you for having me.
That's a wrap.
Earn and Invest is now part of the Airwave Media Podcast Network. Visit airwavemedia.com to listen and subscribe to this show as well as other fine podcasts.
Awesome. I let things keep going just to catch some after show that I include as part of the show.
Perfect. Yeah, there's one thing I wanted to share. You can decide if you want to put it in there.
Go ahead.
So there's these three principles that I have. You're a product of your environment. You're the average of the 5 to 10 people you spend the most energy with. And the third one is you are what you consume. And this includes food, information, experiences, social media, music, movies, books, podcasts, etc. So if you want to alchemize your life, change your environment, like bring in different people into your life, whether that's listening to their podcast, reading their books, getting a coach, and then change what you consume, right? The social media that you're consuming, the books that you're consuming, the entertainment that you're putting in to your mind via your eyes and your ears. And if you want to transform your health, you know, transform what you're putting in your mouth. So that's kind of the other part that I thought about, seeing if I could fit it in there in the show, but I didn't want to
You didn't talk about the nutrition portion, but you talked about everything else. You talked about the first two principles more. And I had read that, so I was aware of that. And I wanted to make sure we got that in, but I'm going to leave that as part of the after show. Tell me about podcasting. So this was something that you had hemmed and hawed over and had kept putting off. How does it feel now to have your podcast?
You know, it's so cool to be on your podcast right now, because this week I just released an episode with my EFT coach, who we talked about the kind of process of working with me and kind of unleashing and unblocking myself. And then next week, I'm releasing an episode with Peter Krohn, and it was in his mastermind, the coaching edition, that I like signed up for his mastermind, because it was that same thing. I was like, okay, what am I going to do different this year, so I'm not in the same place next year? So in addition to getting, you know, my EFT breakthrough coach, I also signed up for the 6-month mastermind. And I signed up on it because one of my good friends, he was doing it, but I didn't realize at the time that it was the coaching edition. I just was like, oh, it's a mastermind, it's about positive transformation. Yeah. Great. I sign up for it. And I had tried to launch a coaching program, just pure fitness, 5 years prior. Totally failed. Didn't get it off the ground. It was heartbreaking. Like, I put so much work into it. Couldn't get anyone to sign up. And I just was like, I guess that dream is dead. And then I signed up for this mastermind. And then like weeks after I'd paid, you know, in full for it, like, I think it was in the first session, I was like,
oh,
I was like, this is the coaching edition. Like, I don't even want, like, I'm not a coach. What am I doing here? And then I started going through the mastermind, started working with my EFT breakthrough coach. And then like, this is where like life is just so magical. I'm talking with one of my friends who is like a vegan fitness coach. Mm-hmm. And I just in passing mentioned to him, yeah, I've always wanted to have a fitness and money coaching program. And he was like, oh yeah, we should talk. Hmm. And he's my business partner.
Yeah.
Yeah. So again, I couldn't have predicted that would happen.
Yeah. It's fairly interesting. You know, the two things that people don't, you know, we don't talk about a lot, but A, having the open mind, and then just not saying, oh, you can't do this or this can't happen, just having the complete open mind. But the other thing that's really true is having enough fuel in the form of money helps quite a bit.
Oh my
God. Because
heck yeah.
Like, when you're doing well in your job or whatever, and you have money coming in, you're like, yeah, I'm going to invest in myself. Like, I'm going to spend $10,000 or $5,000 on this coaching program, or I am going to like, and you don't 100%. Think, and you don't think twice about it. But if you don't have money, it's really hard to do those things. And those things are so beneficial in the end.
Yeah. Dead serious. I would say even beyond like investing in index funds, investing in yourself is literally the best investment. And when you're younger and have less money, that can come in the form of like books and, you know, free content like podcasts. But like, you know, if you look at all the most successful people in the world, they all invest heavily in their own personal development. They have multiple coaches. You know, they have all sorts of things that they're constantly doing to empower them to up level. And, you know, I know a lot of people that are super successful now that they invested in themselves when they didn't have the money. Like, they literally paid for the coaching by putting it on a credit card. Mm-hmm. Like, and like, you know, that wasn't me. And I'm not saying that's for everybody, but for some people, that's like the kind of like paradigm shattering like step that they have to take.
Yep.
You know, I have people like that in my coaching program who are like, this is like the most I've ever invested in myself and it's a stretch. But then like they join the coaching program and they start like actually starting to learn how to really master their money, and they start to become free. You know, they start to become, you know, get on that path to financial freedom. And they just need some guidance, right? From somebody who has their best interest at hand. And they're willing to put in the work because they made the investment. So they want to make sure that investment creates a great return.
It feels really good to be productive, but a lot of the time it's easier said than done, especially when you need to make time to learn about productivity so you can actually, you know, be productive. But you can start your morning off right and be ready to get stuff done in just a few minutes with the Inc. Productivity Tip of the Day podcast. New episodes drop every weekday, so listen and subscribe to Inc. Productivity Tip of the Day wherever you get your podcasts. That's Inc. Productivity Tip of the Day wherever you get your podcasts.